have a sermon titled, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I have sermon notes there if you want to put the first slide up there, Arturo. All right. Now, this week I've been thinking about this, keeping my eyes fixed on Christ, and how much of a challenge it is often to do that in your everyday life. If you want to go to the next picture, do you know what symbol this is? Anybody? What is it? Medical symbol, that's right. This is actually a logo used by the World Health Organization. And I want to draw your attention to what's in the middle there. What is it? A staff and a snake. Moses, it comes back to Moses, right? Now, this is an international, worldwide symbol for health, for medicine, for healing. And you know where it comes from? Like you just said, Moses, the Bible. It comes from the biblical account of the Israelites in Numbers 21. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers 21, and we're going to read verses 4 to 9. I think it's just awesome that the symbol for health and healing comes from the Bible. We'll read verses 4 to 9. It says, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Now this story takes place after the Israelites had sent spies to the promised land to scout out the situation there. This is a land that God had promised the Israelites after they left Egypt. And because of the report the spies brought back that the people were strong and there was giants there, they got scared and they said, no, we're not going to go in there. We can't do this. And it was only Caleb and Joshua among the spies who said, let's go. God has promised this. This is already in the bag. He's got this. But the Israelites, in their unbelief, said that they would not enter. And therefore, God said none of them would enter the promised land besides Joshua and Caleb's and the next generations. And all kinds of rebellions happened before this. We saw plagues that killed many. Miriam became leprous. There was an event where the ground opened up, cracked and swallowed up the house of Korah and his whole household and belongings. But even then, God was faithful to Israel and provided them food, manna, and quail. He gave them water from stones, and he gave them victory over foreign armies trying to destroy them. Yet Israel kept grumbling and complaining. And this is what happens here once again. We have this story of God sending these snakes, poisoning people, biting them, and they're dying. And then God tells Moses to do this very strange thing, to make a snake out of bronze, fasten it to a pole, and to erect it so that everyone can see it. And then he tells that anyone who is bit by a snake only needs to look at this bronze snake and they will be healed and they will live. But notice it takes an act of faith of looking upon that pole. God didn't just heal them or take the snakes away. You see, God wanted to show them that they needed to turn to Him, to trust Him, to keep their focus on Him and His promises. Israel kept turning their focus on the things around them, their circumstances, what they lacked, instead of standing and walking in the promises of God. And because of this, they missed out on seeing what was promised by God, that promise to be fulfilled, and only the next generation would enter into that promise. And in this biblical account, there's also a heavy foreshadowing of God's plan for salvation, and specifically focused on Jesus. When we turn to John chapter 3, we read about Jesus and Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. And he was questioning Jesus on how can a person be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven, of God. And of course, we know Jesus is speaking about spiritual rebirth and not physical rebirth. And after Jesus explains this, listen to what he says in verses 14 and 15 in John chapter 3. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Wow. The serpent in the wilderness was pointing to Jesus Christ and the salvation in Christ. Jesus compares his own death on the cross to the serpent being lifted up in the desert. You see, just as the serpent brought healing and life to the Israelites who were bitten by the venomous snakes, Jesus brings healing and life to all who have been poisoned by the venom of sin, which is every single one of us. We all sin. And Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our source of life. And everyone who believes, who turns their eyes to Him as Lord and Savior, will be saved. Hebrews 12, chapter 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And Psalm 123:1 says, "I lift my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven." Fix your eyes upon Jesus. The Bible tells us so many times to fix our eyes upon him, to lift our eyes to him. And this is meant to give us focus, perspective in life. You know, sometimes during worship, when I'm sitting here in the front, I like to turn around and just sneak a glance back at you guys when you're worshiping. And to see your faces, how they're just so joyous and peaceful. And in just an awe of worshiping God. There's just such reverence on your faces. It's because you're turning your face upon Jesus. You're turning your eyes are on him in worship. In that moment, everything else ceases to matter. It's just you and your Savior. And it gives us such perspective in life that things don't end here. No matter what happens in this life, there is more waiting for us after this life. So much, much more. And this gives us hope. This builds our faith. This reminds me so much of the story of Peter. We just read this on Thursday in our Finnish Bible and prayer meeting. And Jesus had just performed a mighty miracle of feeding thousands from just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then he sends the disciples off on a boat and he goes on the mountainside to pray. Let's read Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to their side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. "Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word out to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Amen. This was one of my favorite Bible stories as a kid. It always amazed me. Walking on water. Wow. Did you ever guys try doing that, walking on water when you were a kid, just running like off the edge of the dock as fast as you could and see if you could like run on the water? Anybody? Was I the only one? Me and my cousins? Okay, and Andrew, yes. All right. But Peter, a regular man, got to experience this. And it's just amazing. And Gimbo was saying at the Bible study, I'm sure Peter probably talked about this, even preached sermons on this, of how he walked on water when Jesus told him to come out of that boat. And it took faith for Peter to do that, to step out of that boat in that wind, in that storm, in that darkness. It was the middle of the night. But he did it because Jesus was there. His Savior was there. And he saw him. He kept his eyes on Jesus. He was focusing on Jesus. He stepped out of the boat and he came to him on the water. But what happened? Peter got scared. He got scared when he looked around and saw the wind. Well, we can't see the wind, but he saw the waves and felt the wind and all that storm that was around him. And he began to fear and he began to sink. In life, we sometimes lose our focus. We get busy, and what we focus on changes. Even as Christians begin to lose sight of Jesus, we get so attached to whatever we see around us in life. We have many things going on in life, right? We have bills, we have jobs, we have this busyness that just seems to take over. We have all these things going on, but you know what? All those things are secondary. And when we focus just on those secondary things, we begin to sink. And we begin to sink, we're wondering, what's happening to me? Where'd my peace go? Where'd my joy go? Where'd my strength go? And we wonder, what's happened? But it's all still there. We've just lost our primary focus, and all we need to do is lift our eyes to Jesus. All these things are talking about perspective in life. And just as the Israelites lifted their eyes in faith to look at that bronze serpent for healing in life, that's how we're to look at Christ now. Fix our eyes on Jesus. When we do that, something happens. Something happens. When we look at Jesus, there's healing. When we look at Jesus, there's hope. When we look at Jesus, there's encouragement. When we look at Jesus, there's faith. There's life. And keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus changes our perspective. Things we thought that were impossible now become possible. Things that we thought we could not do, we begin to think, okay, well, I can do that. Just like Peter getting out of that boat, I can do this. Jesus is here with me. I see my Savior, and he's calling to me. You see, Jesus changes something inside us, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit in us, doing his work. When the disciples were in the boat, scared, Jesus said, "Take refuge." Or take courage, it is I. And when Peter asks Jesus, "Is that really you?" Jesus says, "Come to me." And when Peter begins to sink and cry out, "Lord, save me," Jesus immediately took hold of his hand. So when you're scared, look at Jesus, and he says, "Take courage, it is I." When you're doubting your faith, look to Jesus. He says, "Come to me." And when you begin to sink, look to Jesus and cry out, "Lord, save me." And he says, "I got you." Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Focus on the primary thing in life, which is Christ. From him comes our faith. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So if there's anyone here who's just feeling and saying, "I'm tired, I've failed, feels like there's little or no hope left," the good news is your Heavenly Father loves you. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for your sins so that you can have life, an abundant life. Jesus is the resurrection and life, and his words are life. And he is speaking words of life over you. He's saying, "Come to me, I will give you rest. You can do this. I'm with you. I will give you strength as long as you keep your eyes on me." Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's not be like the Israelites and get distracted by the things in our life and grumble and complain. But keep our eyes fixed on Christ, on his promises, on the future that he has secured for us, and that we don't miss out on what the Lord is doing in our lives like the Israelites did in the desert. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Can you stand with me?